May I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. How do you know God calls you? Like Samuel, the natural modesty of most people would not consider themselves worthy of the direct and overt attention of God. The modern reaction, of course, to hearing voices as an indication of mental instability. If you do not believe in a God, it is not likely you're going to believe someone who claims that he hears God speaking. It seems Samuel likewise could not at first trust the voices he had heard. But God calls disciples to him to hear his word and to action his purpose. Indeed, Samuel was to hear something I'm sure he had rather not have heard. He was to tell Eli, for whom Samuel had obligations and affections, that God was going to destroy his household because he had failed to stop his sons from blaspheming God. Samuel, a child, was to tell Eli, his adult benefactor, that God was going to punish him by destroying his household. In Samuel, God chooses a child, someone with no authority, power, or influence. Samuel is chosen perhaps simply because he was willing to listen. In John's gospel, we have the early stages of Christ's disciples coming together. The idea that Jesus is the Messiah is met with skepticism, simply because he is so ordinary that he comes from a completely unremarkable Nazareth, a town that just doesn't produce remarkable people. And Nathanael asks the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But when Jesus sees Nathanael, he makes an interesting comment. Jesus said, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." These are contrasting responses of a first meeting. Nathanael will take some convincing that Jesus is the Messiah, and he is honest enough to say so to the other disciples. But Jesus likes Nathanael's straightforward honesty. Jesus is saying that if someone is honest with him and doesn't just say things to get on with the crowd, then this sort of individual is what he is looking for in a disciple. Jesus admires Nathanael's strength of character and courage, even when his skepticism is directed at Jesus himself. But what convinces Nathanael is even more remarkable. Nathanael is curious as to how Jesus knows so much about him and asks, Where did you come to know me? To which Jesus replies, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." It is not clear as to how this sighting of Nathanael happens. Was it a chance sighting from a distance? We only know that this remark from Jesus was enough to break down Nathanael's skepticism. Jesus is telling Nathanael, and indeed all who seek to follow him, that he knows who you are, he knows everything about you, your strengths and your weaknesses. He has known you from the beginning of your creation. Jesus' insights into each of us is supernatural in nature, and they are no secrets. But Jesus' display of his divine insight is not what he wants Nathanael to be impressed by. Rather, he should look to the greater things that are coming. Always, Jesus pushes the disciples away from the miraculous things to the bigger picture of what is coming and who he is and why he is amongst us. By your very presence here this morning, you have answered a call from Jesus. You have made yourselves receptive to his teachings and his promises of salvation and healing. That openness to Jesus makes you a disciple, no more, no less than the 12 apostles. Amongst you all there will be the strength of Nathanael, the doubts of Judas, the loyalty of James, and the betrayal of Peter. The disciples were like us, partly truth, partly fiction, enthralled by the idea, but intimidated by the reality of serving Christ. The cock crows and the lights dim, and we cowered before the darkness. But we must remember, we are not the light. The light is within. We are not the strength of the light. We are not the source of the light. We are only bearers of the light. The light shines forth into the world through us, and the light always renews and carries us forward towards those greater things. Jesus knows our weakness, and that is why he has come into our world. And together with those who will open their hearts to him and who listen, Jesus is conquering the sin and darkness that grips our world and us. But to say that you know someone before you have really met them is a statement of divine perception, a claim to see someone beyond what they may actually be understood to be. Jesus sees into Nathanael beyond original sin and sees Nathanael through the grace and love of God. The famous mystical and meditative tract, The Cloud of Unknowing, says this: our reason has been corrupted by sin and alienation from God. Reason is the faculty by which we distinguish evil from good, bad from worse, better from best. Before humanity sinned, our reason would have done all of this by the light of nature. But we are so blinded by original sin that it cannot do so unless it is enlightened by grace. Before humanity sinned, our will could not go wrong in its choice of what is loved or any of the things that it did, because then it was able by nature to understand each thing as it really was. And this would include understanding ourselves. Except by the grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ, we are strangers unto ourselves. Our true selves can only be known within our love of God and God's love of us. There is currently a best-selling book entitled The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump. 27 psychiatric and mental health experts assess a president. These experts give a diagnosis of why Trump is dangerous, and they cite the following reasons. Past violence is the best predictor of future violence. And he has shown verbal aggression, boasting about sexual assaults, inciting violence in others, an attraction to violence and powerful weapons, and the continual taunting of a hostile nation with nuclear power. Specific traits that are highly associated with violence include impulsivity, recklessness, paranoia, a loose grip on reality with a poor understanding of consequences, rage reaction, a lack of empathy, belligerence towards others, and a constant need to demonstrate power. Trump's narcissistic obsession with his own ego prohibits any real insight of himself and his need of God. This is a rather unsettling profile of the most powerful man on earth, a man both obsessed with and estranged from himself. Original sin is alive, dangerous, and flourishing in our world. If we trust in God, we must create receptiveness within ourselves with prayer, with meditation, praise, and worship. When God speaks and acts to us and asks us to act, we must trust We must listen. Samuel was frightened of what he heard, as well as what God was asking him to do. But he did what was asked. When God shines his grace within ourselves, we can see who we really are, and that grace may require that we acknowledge honestly things that stand between God and us. Original sin was all about walking away from God, and Jesus is calling us back to who we really are, back into our relationship with God. Nathanael was not a follower of Christ, but when the light of Christ revealed to him that God had always known him, he was transformed. I'd like to end with the prayer, and I'd like to end with the 139th Psalm, because it says it beautifully about our relationship with God. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways, even before a word is on my tongue. Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unfold substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end, and I am still with you. Amen.